Welcome to Shas Illuminated. Please enjoy the following shiur.
Title.
And I'd like to continue with Parshas Lech Lecha and say as follows. Avram Avinu fights a war. Remember, he wants to capture back his son, his brother's son, Lot, has been captured by the four powerful kings. And Avram Avinu wants to get back, he wants to get to free his nephew, his Talmud and his nephew, Lot. And he fights a war and he's successful. Avram Avinu, miraculously, is a great warrior, a gift from Hashem. And he fights a war against the four countries, the four powerful countries. And Avram Avinu wins this war. After he wins the war, what happens now? He wins this war against the four countries. Avram Avinu now owns these countries. They're his. You win it in war, it's yours. So he now is the head of the country. One of those countries is Sidon. That's where Lot went. One of the countries, a very wicked country, Sidon. And in an ironic twist, Avram Avinu now owns Sidon, Yechiel. It's his. Vayomer Melech Sidon El Avram. So the king of Sidon has a conversation with Avram. He says, Tain li anefesh. Could I have the souls back? Do you mind if I get my country back? He wants his country back. He's the king. He's been imprisoned. The four powerful kings conquered five kings. The four kings were stronger. They beat five kings who were fighting together. And one of those kings was Sidon. Avram Avinu defeats the four powerful kings, freeing the other five kingdoms. So he comes to Melech Sidon. Vayom El Sidon L'Avram, and the king of Sidon says to Avram, Tain li anefesh, can I get my people back? V'arichosh kachloch, you could keep all the money. You be a billionaire. It's yours. You conquered my country back. You freed us. The money you can keep. But do you mind if I get my people back? Vayom Avram, and Avram says as follows. Now I do want to say that Chazal criticized Avram three sins, the Gemara Nedarim. We discussed one yesterday, that Avram Avinu, one sin of Avram Avinu, we discussed yesterday, Sha'asa Angaria b'talmidei Chacham. He took his Talmidim, who were learning Torah, and brought them to fight. That was considered one sin of Avram. They were learning Torah. Don't take people designated for Torah and bring them to the army.
Oh boy.
That was one sin. I didn't go, the Gemara went there. That was one sin. Sin number two, Eliezer, sin number two, it's the Gemara says, that Avram Avinu was punished. Sin number one, so he took people designated for Torah and he brought them to the army. That's the Gemara says. Sin number two, is he shouldn't have given back, Yehuda, he shouldn't have given back the people to Sidon. Interesting. Melech Sidon says, Tain li anefesh, give back my people. Avram Avinu was punished. He should have said, no, I'm the king now. Amazing. It's amazing. Here Avram Avinu is so humble and nice, gives back. It's so kind. He gives Sidon back his people. The Gemara says Avram's punished. He should have taken on the role. I want to say to the Chevra, that there are times in our life we're appointed to jobs and we think we're being humble.
Wow.
And nice, like, no. Avram Avinu was punished. He should have become the new king of Sidon. Amazing. The Gemara says this. There's not, you're not allowed to make up sins. The Gemara says he should have taken the mission. I want to express to people that a lot of times people think they're being humble in different cases and situations. So I don't want to do. Excuse me, you're given an opportunity, a big opportunity to impact, to make a big ashpa. It's not so simple. You could take humility. It's interesting. Shmuel the Navi gives Musar to Shaul to being too humble. Im katanata beinecha, reishifte Yisrael, don't be so humble in your eyes. You have a job here. There are times people in humility could do something that Avram Avinu was punished. The Gemara says in the Darim that he should have been Melech Sidon. He should have accepted the job. He became the king. It's so interesting. Melech Sidon comes like so meekly, this horrible Russia, and he says to Avram, can I have my people back? And Avram Avinu, in such a kind gesture, says, sure, take your people back. And the Gemara says he's punished.
Avram Avinu should have said, no, I'm sorry. No, I'm the king now. And he should have ran. We would have had this would have been different, Avram Avinu. There's what to learn. Always when we study Torah, there's what to learn for us all as the children of Avram. That if you have opportunity, be careful. There's something called humility for sure. Humility is precious and important. But you have an opportunity. It's not so pasha to turn down the opportunity. You can impact. I have seen people with opportunities who think they're being humble and like shy away from it. You have an opportunity. Roiship to Yisrael. I have told guys in yeshiva, guy's very popular. People like him. He's with it. And he like, no. He like doesn't accept the yoke. People like you. You're popular. You're a with it guy. Did you notice people are into you? People think they're being humble instead of like accepting a position and a situation. You could go up to a guy in yeshiva, and I've seen people do this. Everybody likes the guy. And there's what to do with that stature. There's what to do with that position. And people meekly could like turn away from it in the name of humility.
Fear.
What'd you say?
It's fear. To not acknowledge.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, I thought you were saying fair, F-A-I-R. You're saying F-E-A-R. Martcha says there's a fear element to it. It's fair. The person's afraid. Pachad. Martcha said it's pachad. A guy's like Terry, doesn't want to own that.
Yeah.
He said fair, not this has to be expressed, not F-A-R. Nobody start up with Martcha. He speaks perfect. Martcha's beautiful. It should be said, we're on recordings also. He's a very eligible, good-looking, Bentira, loved person. It should be expressed what he said. But Martcha's saying that part of why somebody turns away from it is he's afraid. His Pashut's scared. It's scary. He's right, Martcha. There's reasons. Avi, you mask him to this? People have situations, they don't accept the achrayus where you're in a situation, do something. I want to say to the chevro, you're all sitting here. When we moved, how many years ago did we move to this campus? This is now our ninth year on this campus. Mevezi, give it exact. What number year? 10th year. Wow, 10 years. Esser Shanim, amazing. There's our 10th year on the campus. When we moved, Yechiel, there's a true story. No, not a word of exaggeration. Rav Ezi could say, hey, this. We were here 10 years ago, we moved to the campus. We were bugging out. Right, Russ could say, hey, this. We were very scared. Right, Oberlander had left the yeshiva. Oberlander, Zechreinu Levracha, this powerhouse in the Masifta, had felt his health was suffering. And he moved on from the yeshiva. We didn't know what was going to be. We came to the campus. We were shut down. We were thrown out of Waterbury. The government, it wasn't zoned. We find this place in Durham a couple of weeks before the Zman, miraculously. Yitzhak Rabinowitz, the tzaddik, found this place, miraculous, mamish, a miracle. Yeah. We move here in weeks. We started the Zman late. We pushed, had to get this place ready, chick-chack. People worked hard, amongst them Rav Elephant, the heroes who worked hard to get us ready. Now we're all coming here, but we missed the one who always organized us left. But none of us knew what's going to be with a new place. In that moment, Rav Brownstein, stepped in. Nobody asked. He said it's like a vacuum here, and he ran the whole yeshiva. He organized us, and I want to express... There's achrayus. There's also a sense if you could do something. My Rebbe has a line in Yiddish, as meken mimuz, if we can, we must. If you have a capacity, don't pretend, take achrayus. I could say on the basketball, by the way, our basketball team's really good this year. We need a leader. We need a guy to take ownership. I mean, honestly, I'm saying musser, and I'm not, somebody has to own it. One of the guys, and it doesn't help from outside, one of the guys on the team has to excuse me and like encourage. We start out meek. Somebody owns something and says, Kevin, let's do it. We can. We're able. But this takes a certain sense as miken mimuz. If you can, you must. You'll have many things in your life Like Martha said, people are afraid. I don't know. And we like tend to melt from when there's opportunity, jump up and do it. We would not be here today. There's no exaggeration. There's no, the yeshiva would have melted. It wouldn't have existed. Rabbi Brownstein saw a situation, said, I can, and did it. It's a big lesson, and I'm not flattering. I'm telling you in your life, wake up, and when you have chances and possibilities, stand up. Avram Avinu should have accepted. Chazal criticized him. You were king of Sodom. Who said to melt away? It seems so innocent. I picture the scene. The head of Sodom says, can I have my people? Avram said, no, I'm the king now. I'm the king now. I'm going to run Sodom right now. Sodom would have changed, Yechiel. But I'm not coming to... Avram Avinu was from the greatest people who ever lived. And I promise he thought of this cheshbon. And there was some dak min adak, a subtle amount of sin that's beyond my comprehension, like how subtle and narrow, and he thought of everything I'm thinking. But I still have to learn Torah. And the lesson I learn is when there's opportunity and a case, and you could do something, stand up and don't melt. Don't melt. And there's always reasons people come up with narishkeit, why they shouldn't, why they can't, why it's, I'm so scared, like Martha said, there's fear, there's humility, a fake humility, a lot of fear. A lot of fear, I agree with Martha, a lot of sense, I don't know, a lot of self-doubt. And I say to us all in your life, nach in your life, I say sincerely, and I mean it, is when you see you could do something, stand up and do it. You'll always say, I don't know if I'm built for this. I don't know. I'm sure, I promise, I'm sure Rabbi Berenstein had nights. I promise you. You could speak to him where he said, I don't know if I can. I don't know. It's scary to take achrayus to jump in. Yeah. It's a true story. It's a true story. It's what happened. It's what happened. Somebody stood up. And didn't say, I don't know, and didn't say, he stood up literally. Nobody knew. We were looking at each other. We did not know what would be. He got there, made calls, organized, figured stuff out, mamish, from zero. I'm not here like trying to flatter Rabbi Brownstein. We'll flatter him a different time. I'm here munning you. I'm munning you and saying, Yossi, I'm saying to us in our lives, stand up. In your room, stand up. You can encourage your roommates. In your dorm, stand up. In your community, stand up. In your family, stand up. We all have self-doubts. We all have things. Can I? I don't know. Was I made for this? There's a motto. It's a very good motto. As Miken Mim was, if we can, we must. Stand up. Stand up and jump in and fill the void. Because you see a void and you see a need. Stand up.
That's why Aaron got punished because he was supposed to
run Sodom. Yeah. That's Chazal say, I'm not. Now, I want you to know, Danny, he had cheshbonus, I'm sure. Probably said, I'm not the best guy for Sodom. There's an irony here. I wouldn't exactly vote. You know, New York's like voting for a mayor. Avraham Avinu wouldn't be the likely candidate to be king of Sodom. But I'm telling you the story. He conquered Sodom. And Melstein said, can I have my people back? And Avraham Avinu was punished. He should have said, no, you can't have back. I'm the king now. She said, I'm the king right now. That's what Avraham Avinu was expected to say. So I'm not here. I'm not criticizing Avram. That's not my place. Avram's the greatest human being. And Avram thought of these cheshbonos. But I'm learning Torah. I'm studying Torah. And in studying Torah, Hashem's saying something. And the lessons of Achrayus, by the way, from the person, there's an irony here. Who was the greatest Yehuda? Who was the greatest Baal Achrayus who ever lived? Avram Avinu? So it's ironic. You say, Avram's the one we're learning a lesson of, like, his weakness. Of course, the one you teach most on is the one who was, he's judged to a mamish, a hair's breadth. The Sviva Avraham Avinu's judged to hit my son. Avraham Avinu's like mistake in this, quote unquote. Avraham Avinu's the most Baal Achrayus ever. And even this, he's judged. You had Sodom. You should keep Sodom. Tein li anefesh. Avraham Avinu should have said no. But Aaron, I'm talking what it says to us. What it says to us. Stand up. Where there's a breach, where there's a void, where there's a need, stand up and be the man. So that's the second sin of Avram. What'd you say?
Punished Yeah, it says yes. We went to Mitzrayim. It says one of three reasons Klaus went to Mitzrayim, there was a pigam in our people. It means there was a pigam. There was something in our people that had to be learned and had to be brought. It had to have a tikkun. It's not about bad shleim. Hashem, punishments in the Torah are never Hashem's like now. It means we had things to be misakin. We had perfection to yet to come to in our people. It was a difficult journey, Mitzrayim. It was, we were tortured there, but there was some pigam that still needed tikkun. That's a good question. I have to think about that. I'm sure how each tikkun we go through, how it's misakin, needs to be followed. I don't know the answer. But I know that one of the things that needed tikkun is we were supposed to say, okay, tzedayim, okay, it's mine. That this is Pashup Shat in the Torah.
I mean, he was supposed to take it for himself or just not give it back to the king?
Take it from... Run it.
He was supposed to.
Weird. Interesting. I don't know. I don't want to add... Because of that. So, could be a right of front. I want to keep going. I want Shlomo. That what?
I don't know, Sadaim becoming Yerushalayim.
Sadaim would have changed. It's amazing. But I want to. Rai Ras, Pashup Shat? Do we. What? Pashup Shat? We're allowed to learn Pshat. There's Torah on this. What the sin and to get it. But I think we could just learn simple Pshat. And this is Gemara Nedarim, simple Pshat. Avram was supposed to say yes. But let's go on. So Melech Sadaim says to ask Avram a request, can I have my people back? And you keep the wealth. Vayomer Avram Melech Sadaim. Avram Avinu responds to Melech Sadaim, Harimaisi Yadi El Hashem. I have raised my hand to God, which the Rishonim say means I swear. Kel Olyan, God on high, Koine Shemayim Varetz, the creator of heavens and earth. I have sworn to God, says Avram Avinu. Remember, Mel Sadaim says, take the wealth. Imichut bad tzroichnal, I won't take a shoelace. Michut from a string, ad tzroichnal, till a shoelace. I swear I won't take anything from the booty, zero. It's all Avram's. Avram Avinu says, Nachi, I swear I won't take a thing. I'm not touching a thing. I swear, michut vad tzreich nal, v'im ekach mikol asharlach, which Rashi explains. Okay, so I'm not taking a penny. So Melech Sadaim says, okay, you're not taking a penny, let me give you a few bucks. You gave me back billions of dollars, an entire country's economy. So can I give you a couple of million? Let me give you, gave me back $6 billion, let me give you $3 million. Let me give you $1 million, let me pay you something. Says Avram, I swear, mekach mikol asharlach, I won't take a dollar from you. Why not? Why? It's such a strange thing. By the way, did Avram Avinu want money? Absolutely. Was Avram Avinu into money? Zero, Yosef. Why does Avram Avinu want money, Yosef? Because he's building idealism. He was impacting tens of thousands of people. Cost money to run with Avram Avinu. What did Avram Avinu run? He had an institution. Thousands of people will come. It was blocks and blocks long. It was a massive institution. Princes, kings, queens would come to him to learn Torah. They would learn about Hashem. He had a massive college. You know that? Do you picture Avram Avinu had a little tent? Baloney. Blocks and blocks long. What does it cost to run such an institution? Tens of thousands, millions of dollars. Hashem promised Avram, you'll be rich. Hashem promised Avram to be rich. And here Avram, Hashem delivered. He got rich. Avram says, I swear I won't take a dollar. I swear I won't take a shoelace of the whole stuff. Why not? Says Avram, Saimer, I don't want you to say, Ani Asharti as Avram. I don't want Melech Sadaim to say, I made Avram Avinu wealthy. Shlomo, why does he care Reli, why does Avraham Avinu care if Melech Sadaim? Picture this scenario. Melech Sadaim is in jail. He's locked up with his hands like this. The four powerful kings conquered Sadaim. His whole country isn't anymore. The king is locked up. That's it. Avraham Avinu comes, kills the four kings, wins a war, frees Melech Sadaim. Maslaim sheepishly says to Avram, can I have my people back? Do you mind if I have the kingship? You take all the money, but like, can I have my country back? Avram Avinu says, take your people and take every dollar. I won't touch a dollar. It's all yours. Not taking anything. Not taking a shoelace. And if you want to give me money, forget them booty. If you want to give me a million for giving you back billions of dollars, I won't take a penny. Why? I don't want you to say, Ani Ashartius Avram, I made Avram Avinu wealthy. What does he care if Melech Sadaim says that? First of all, it's one of the dumbest claims in the world. Melech Sadaim would say, I made Avram Avinu wealthy? Melech Sadaim, you were underground, locked up like this, with your hands tied up and finished. Avram Avinu says, no, I'm not taking. I don't want you to say, Ani Ashartius Avram, I made Avram wealthy. Avraham Avinu was promised by God wealth. Now here Hashem delivered. He won a war miraculously. Why does he care if Melech Sadaim says, I made Avraham Avinu wealthy? Why does Avraham Avinu care? So say, I made Avraham wealthy. I am not having you say, Ani Ashartius Avraham, I made Avraham wealthy. Avraham Avinu has been promised by Hashem wealth. He wants Kiddush Shemayim. God's going to give it to me himself. I want it to come in a pure way. I don't want it to come that you say you made me wealthy. I want it clear. Hashem promised me and Hashem gave me. I don't want it to be you'll be the one to say I made Avram wealthy. I want it clear. Hashem promised and Hashem delivered. I don't want any tainting to it. Somebody else, hey, Hashem, I'm the one who made him. Interesting, very fascinating. I'm not saying, Pshat, why is Avram afraid of that? It's a very weak taina of Melech Sadaim. I made Avram wealthy. Very weak taina. You made Avram wealthy? By getting captured, by standing there. What do you mean you made him wealthy? I mean, he did take your country's wealth because he captured the war. But Avram Avinu says, that's not how I want it from Hashem. I want it directly from you, Hashem. And he refuses to take a penny. I don't want you to say, I made Avram Avinu wealthy. Amazing. Avram Avinu has a fascinating cheshbon that he doesn't want Melech Sadaim to say, I made Avram wealthy. It should be clear. Avram Avinu is about Kiddush Shemayim. God promised me wealth. I want it to be clear to all. God promised and he delivered. Sha'amar v'haya. Shem promised and it was. Here it would be a little tainted. Melech Sadaim says, I'm the one who made him wealthy. I don't want that, Avraham Avinu says. Marta, isn't that a fascinating cheshbon? I never heard somebody make this type of cheshbon. They were promised from Hashem. Maybe this is how Hashem delivered. This is not Eliezer, amazing cheshbon of Avram. I don't say Naftali understand it. I don't understand it. Avram, Hashem delivered. Hashem promised you wealth. Did you ever see anybody make such a cheshbon? Hashem promised him wealth and Hashem delivered. Nope. You promised. I don't want it to come through somebody else. By the way, this would be an amazing cheshbon, Tzvi, if Melech Sadaim would go to him and say, here, I have $1 billion for you. Now, I do want to say, Chevra, it says, Sainei Matanas Yichya, somebody who hates presents lives life. There's an important thing not to take gifts. So you could say Avraham Avinu was worried to take a gift. Taking it doesn't say that. And here, remember, he didn't take from Melech Sadaim Shleim a typical gift. Now, a typical gift has the problem that you're beholden. You feel beholden, and you don't have the same free will. You feel like you owe back. You could say that if Melech Sadaim says, Ani Asharti Es Avram, there's a place in Avram will feel beholden to Melech Sadaim. I don't want to be beholden to you. I don't want any part of me beholden to you. And if Melech Sadaim says, Ani Asharti Es Avram, I made you wealthy, there's a space in Avram who's going to feel a little beholden to him, Eliezer. Avram said, I don't want that. Amazing. He doesn't want it.
Then Avram
took
from other
kings. Ooh. Effie asked that earlier in the parasha, he takes from Parai. He takes from Parai and gets rich from Parai. The Sifsecham asks your kasha. By Sari Menu, by Parai, it says that he takes from Parai. It says, that he was covered Ma'ib Miktam at Sain, and he said he got rich. The Psukim actually say, Leman Yitav Li Bavurech, they'll give me gifts to get you. Avraham Avinu took gifts from Mitzrayim. Some Mefarshim say, Effi, that there he didn't want to take gifts from Hashem. There he took it to save Sari Menu's life. By people gifting him because of her, made her more prestigious and allowed him to protect her. That's what some Mefarshim say. So he took gifts as a way, people were like buttering him up. This is his sister. And it made him more prestigious and put him in a position to protect her. That's what some Mefarshim say. But the Kasha's asked. Now, Avraham Avinu has some cheshbon, a very spiritual cheshbon, not to take from Melech Sadaim, a wild cheshbon. But here Yehuda's one of my favorite psukim in the entire Torah, Yehuda. And David, I want to talk about the next pasuk. This is one of my favorite psukim, Mechi. If everybody could listen to this. This is the requirement, Nachi, of us all, Naftali. Avraham Avinu has a very himmeldik, a very heavenly cheshbon not to take money. Crazy cheshbon. He just became a billionaire, miraculously. Clearly given by Hashem, he says, I'm not touching it. Melech Sadaim is going to say, Ani Asharti, I made Avraham wealthy. Whatever he didn't like about that, is he going to be beholden to Melech Sadaim? Is it not going to be the same Kiddush Shemayim Hashem promised and Melech Sadaim saying, I did it? Whatever he didn't like, Avraham, and I'm not sure what he didn't like. But the next pasuk, no, Avraham Avinu is not punished giving back the wealth. But listen, what it's some good cheshbon, and he's not punished for this. But listen, his next words, chevra, he says, "Biladai." This is what he says to Melech Sadaim: "Biladai, besides for me, my money, Melech Sadaim, I won't take a penny. But biladai, but besides for me, rakasher achlu anaarim." What my youth had eaten already, they took some from the spoils already, just to eat, during the battle, they took some stuff. Avraham Avinu had three friends, who fought with Avraham Avinu. Their names were Aner, Eshkol, and Mamri. They're part of the spoils, I'm not giving up. Anything that's mine, it's yours, Melech Sadaim. But the men that went with me, I want them to be paid everything they deserve. They get my chelek. Avram's the main general, is the king. It's his. He conquered. He ran it. And my stuff, Melech Sadaim, it's all back to you. But the chelek wa'anashim shaholchuiti, heim yitchu chelkem. I want them paid what they deserved. What they're entitled, I don't know how to figure this out, the math. How much do they get? But their percentage, whatever the amount of money they deserve, heim yikhu chelkem, I want them to get paid. It's one of my favorite psukim in the Torah because this is Avraham Avinu. You could live on the frumest level you're on, all the while people around you, you're thanking them. For his own self, amazingly frum cheshbainus, I won't take a dollar. Okay, so you're not into this. The people with me are not losing a penny. I think this is the mark of a great person. There are people, Yosef, who have very like Shemayim Dekei Cheshbonos, but they other people suffer around them. I have endless examples of this. A guy, Yom Kippur, has like crazy thoughts, and you walk by and somebody needed a hello, somebody needed something. The capacity to live on different planes, to live in different planes. Beseder, very nice that you're holding in Shemayim places, but you have space for somebody else. You're thinking about somebody else. The capacity to have room for others and think where they're holding. Not to be self-centered, selfish, only in your cheshbonos. Amazing. This is like a window into a tzaddik. In his own cheshbainus, Avraham Avinu is in the heavens, mamish. He has billions of dollars. He's like, I'm not taking it. I don't want Melech Sadayim to say, I made Avraham Avinu wealthy. Wow. Crazy cheshbainus, Yassi. But when it comes to somebody else, Avraham Avinu, for my men, I want them all the dollars. I want them to have their dollars. I want them paid. People talk about a maisa of the Kleisenberger Rebbe, that a guy was going to a movie, and like the Kleisenberger like gave him money for popcorn at the movie. It's always been the tzaddikim and gedolim are very practical, very grounded, and they could think about the needs and the wants and what other people have. I've said over here a story with Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. His Talmidim were very, very pirish from Olam Hazeh. They were very detached from Olam Hazeh. But when it came to the needs of others, he yelled at them that they don't know the good restaurants for other people. They might have been for themselves in big spaces, but they were practical and grounded. Many, many tzaddikim, Martha. A guy in his own home, his son, what style pants do your kids like? Guys, it's not my thing. Yeah, but it's your kid's thing. It's your son's thing. What style pants did you buy your kid? What's the latest style? Did you get a Lululemon pair for your son, for your daughter? People show off that I'm not into these things. They should be ashamed of themselves. Your daughter is. Did she get the right style? Are you cognizant? Are you aware? The tzaddikim had space. They lived in this earth. They understood people around them, the goodness and the needs of people around them. They weren't oblivious to it, the big tzaddikim. Sure for themselves. I can assure you, I'm reading a little about, anybody could read, and the book about him is like remarkable. This tzaddik, the Rebbe from Seagate, the Ribnitzer Rebbe. And he lived barely on this earth.
Yeah.
And he didn't eat and drink for the people around him. Awesome. Go out, buy yourself a steak. Awesome. What do you mean? He wasn't from on... I don't just want to say he wasn't from on somebody's cheshbon. I want to say deeper that they're present to other situations. In his own self, he's not touching a steak. He wasn't eating for his Talmidim. Somebody described to me, Reb Shmuel Birnbaum, like somebody described to
how
me.
How are you, Woody?
You thought of that, Reb Ezi? Somebody described to me, Reb Shmuel, like orangutan in his stuff, Kulei Teira, and worried who was walking his grandson home, worried about the physical situations of people around him. The great people live in different planes. They're able, they're aware, they have himmeldik cheshbainus, heavenly cheshbainus for themselves. And yet for people around them, very practical, very present. The wife of a great person, he has cheshbainus. His wife, are we getting the right dress? Are we doing? He's aware, he's present to her situation. The children of great people. This is like a window into Avram. You're talking about somebody from the greats who ever lived. And his cheshbainus are astounding. He has billions of dollars from Hashem and given Tim Benes, and he won't touch a penny for some Eliezer for a cheshbon that's like, it's chilling. Maybe like one epis, I'll feel meshubah to you. No, I'm not meshubah to Mal Sadaim. Epis, it will be a pigam in the Kiddush Shemayim. God said he's giving it to me. I don't want. That's like a cheshbon. I don't know. It's like higher than any of us would ever make in our lives. It's wild. Avraham Avinu's holding. He's holding at crazy places, Yosef.
But
all the while, he's holding that the men who fought with him, they should be paid. Excuse me. They fought. Hey, mikhu chelkum. They should get their chelik. He's present to the matzav of people. This is always great people. This is part of greatness. It's part of greatness. Part of people being great is the space for others and the people, and they thought about the people together at the same time of their crazy cheshbainus. When you see a pigam in this, you're not seeing greatness. It's not Avram.
when you see somebody is so like lofty, they like they seem to have forgotten about people around them, situation. Here, like, I love these psukim. Yisrael, these psukim to me are wild. I hear one of the loftiest cheshbonos I've ever heard in my life. Avram Avinu gives up billions. And then a second later, he says, the men who fought me, hey, mikhu chelkim, I want them paid. Good dollars. They fought practical, present for the people around them. I would literally say this is the mark of great people. Lofty, elevated cheshbonos. I don't want to even make it like Martch, like a contrast. This is the space of great people. They're thinking about other people's needs and wants and where the other people are. Greatness is not ignoring where people are and what's happening, but there's not greatness there. The big tzaddik has lofty cheshbonos always. Thought his wife, thought his children, thought the neighbor, people around him, very in amazingly practical, comfortable, worldly ways. They were very present to that. Extremely present to the worldly things of people around them. You can imagine the difficulty for themselves. They're pirish from Olam Hazeh. In crazy ways, they do not partake in Olam Hazeh, big tzaddikim. We're very separate from Olam Hazeh. And did not, Avraham Avinu gives up billions of dollars for a cheshbon of Kiddush Shemayim. And yet in the same sentence, what? I could think of all these cheshbonos. He didn't. Lo soim ani asharti Avraham. I like what Maritch is saying. Maritch is saying he was locked in. I'm trying to get light. At 1 year, I wanted a tie. And I have ways of learning the psukim like that, Maritch. I do agree. He's getting light out. Nothing else. He swore, I won't touch a penny. But for his men, for the people that fought, excuse me, I want them paid top dollar. Excuse me.
Still,
this is part of this is the godless.
You have to realize the balance.
No, there's the godless.
Yeah,
no,
right, not that.
This is the world of godless. If we want a window, the Torah is a window in Tavram. In the world of godless, he's very present to the. I love these psukim, Zemi. Isn't that amazing? In the middle of like a otherworldly cheshbon, Avram Avinu is demanding the payment for the people around him. Godless. Crazy cheshbonos, present there, around, thinking about the situation of people around, not lost, not in their heavenly things, very present to people around. The big tzaddikim at the loftiest times are capable, Yom Kippur, they're in crazy places, and then his wife's going to, excuse me, he's in shul, he's in the heavenly places. And that's part of the space. You're sure you're feeling okay. He comes over to somebody, has the fast going, you're okay. You see this on big people. This, like, amazing, you're holding. We've seen it on the Rebbe like this, Evie. We've seen this, the heavenly cheshbonos that are fire. And part of that, and included in that, and all part of this beautiful way of living is, how's the fast going, you're okay, and Avram Avinu and the psukim of Lo Taim Rani Asharti Es Avram demanding Aner Eshkol and Mamre's fair pay. Amazing psukim, no Avram? Yeah. I told the Chevra before that, like, davening for Parnas on Yom Nairam always was like, we're worried about, like, heavenly things, and then we ask for Parnassus. Now, our own Parnassus, for sure, we should ask Gishmak that also. For Yidin's Parnassus, pour out your heart to Hashem. Could I tell a Maisa that moved me a lot? Could I share a story, Yosef, that moved me a lot?
Sure.
Do you know, after Tzvi's accident, do you know that the Rebbe asked, when's the Rebbe? Do you know we asked somebody, is he still good looking? What'd he say, Mesh? Tell me this. He davened for Tzvi. The Rebbe
Davin Fitzvi Eisner had his accident. By his child's wedding, he davened he should have recovery. He davened he should stay good looking. He's a good looking guy. If you care, he's with another person. He davened he should keep good looking. He was so happy to hear his face wasn't scarred. Tzvi still looks like $1 million. He's a good looking guy. He davened. Morty, it blew my brains. We davened. At least he should survive. We're not. If you care, think about his own prayers. Davened, the Rebbe davened he should stay good looking. That's head in the heavens, and then so like thinking about other people, Yehuda. He was davening in the accident. Should stay good looking. Should be very important to him. He wanted to hear. He's excited. The face wasn't scarred. He looks gewaldig. He was praying. He should keep good looks. That's like mamish space for another person. Full space for another person. This is the space of great people. There's a lot of space for others. The entirety. Avraham Avinu is living like heavenly cheshbonos. Right in there is about the payment in the same sentences, back to back psukim of heavenly cheshbonos, giving up billions is the statement that I want to see my guys paid. Aner Eshkol and Mamre, Hem Yitchu Chelko, make sure they get paid top dollar. I want to make sure they get their dollars. This is a window, Yehuda. This is the window into where we come. Avraham Avinu. Person, heavenly cheshbonos space for others, practical, the mamish, where others are, what others are, the situation of others. You would think you're holding in such cheshbonos, like people's money. I can't think that way. I'm sorry. No. Other people's cheshbonos right there. I've seen this in great people. Anybody who's zoicha to have a kesher to tzaddikim, I've seen this in tzaddikim. The practical place of people. This story, he's davening, make sure he still looks good. On his own self, maybe he doesn't even worry about looks. I don't know, maybe he's not. But Yenna's, the space for Yenna, where Yenna, who Yenna is, like this. Mamish with them. Amazing, no friend. Naira. We could keep going. I don't want to let go. It's 4:35. I don't want to let go of Parashas Lech Lecha. Yeah, I'm not ready yet. Pasha, not ready. B'li Neder, tomorrow will be Nachday, even though we have Parashas Vayera coming. But I can't let go of Lech Lecha.
That's fine. Okay, well, at least we have next Shabbat. I love
Rebbe. Hey. Yisrael, you hear what's going on here? Amazing, right? What are you tithing, Maritcha? So Maritcha wants to know, so it's interesting, the Torah records that he's rich, because the Torah records after he leaves Mitzrayim, it says, he's Avram Kaved Ma'oid Bamikna Mekesav Azav, he's very wealthy, he's like, Mamish Kaved Ma'oid, Hashem says Ma'oid, Hashem knows what it means, Hashem says a lot, he's loaded. Definitely Mitzrayim gave him a lot. In Mitzrayim, he got a lot. It doesn't tell us the full story. Oh, it's a good kasha. It's interesting. Maritri took money in Mitzrayim because it helped Sarai Menu to take money there. Because Mefarshim speak out that by them paying him to get Sarah helped her prestige, helped him become prestige so he could protect Sarah. He was trying to be there to protect Sarah. Even it says, if it's funny, if you read, I figured this out 1 year. Avram says to Sarah, say you're my sister. L'man yitav li bavurech, they'll be, give me money on your behalf. V'chaysa nafshi beglolech, and they'll let me live for you. Mm-hmm. That seems very selfish. He says, say you're my sister so I could stay alive. Yeah. And I could become rich.
I figured out 1 year, simple pshat. He wants to protect Sarimenu. If Avram Avinu is gone, Sarah is finito. In Mitzrayim, Sarimenu, Mitzrayim will take, chas v'shalom. The reason Avram Avinu wants to remain alive, Mefarshim speak this out, is 100% for Sarimenu. So he said, listen, say you're my sister, they'll make me wealthy, I'll be prestigious, I'll be alive, and I'll protect you. If chas v'shalom, something happens to Avram Avinu, sorry, the Mefarshim speak out, Avram's want to stay alive, chaysa nafshi biglalech, I'll stay alive because of you. He wants that to protect her. So he says, sorry, man, a wife. If I say I'm your husband, they'll kill me, and what's going to happen to you? Hashem Yerachim. Say you're my sister, they'll make me rich, they'll keep me alive, so I can protect you. Avram Avinu's sole thought is to provide and take care of Sarimenu. So he says, I'll become rich. If I'm your brothers, then people flatter me, they want to get you. So they'll give me money, they'll keep me alive. I'm like the guy who's like gonna, you have to butter up to get to Sarah. So Avram Avinu, one of the ways Avram Avinu became wealthy is in Mitzrayim. People were pouring money at him. So that's one of the ways he became wealthy. And certainly he became wealthy. The Torah's mayor that he had tremendous wealth. Capturing Sidaim, which gave him millions of dollars, Avram Avinu said, no, that's not the money I want.
Why not? Why couldn't it be for Sarah also? Why couldn't that also be for Sarah?
That what?
He took from all the five.
He had a cheshbon, like Taimani Asharti Savram, whatever this heavenly cheshbon. Yeah, there was a specific thing. Mitzrayim was a place of tremendous pritzos, and Asari Menu was Yafim Ma'id, so it was dangerous what would happen there. So he said, I'll get wealthy for this, I'll be able to take care of you. Sedaim, that wasn't the worry. They had other sicknesses, this wasn't the worry, it seems.
Rebbe, so how does money help Sarah?
If he's prestigious, he's in a position, I'll take care of you. He said, "You let's say I'm your brother. People are going to throw money at me. I'll be very prestigious. I'll be alive, and then I'll guard you." It seems, it's again, there's a Sif Secham who says it was only a Davar Mu'at, and he didn't become wealthy. To me, the way reading the Pasha Pshat and the stories, right before Mitzrayim, it doesn't say it. Afterwards, it says, he was Kaved Ma'ayid Ba'mikna Vatzayim. The Pashtus of the Psukim sound like he got wealthy there. You could say it only mattered here because of that. Yeah, that's how the Sif Secham would have to defend. Like if the Psukim sound like he gets wealthy there. The Sif Secham, in one of his truths and why he took, he says, Davar Mu'at you could take. The way you read the Psukim, it sounds like he took a... Yeah, so that could be. But here, it sounds like right here he becomes rich. There's a whole nother sugya I want to study with the Chevra about Ein Mazel Yisrael. I want to study that sugya. Believe me, that tomorrow we're going to study another sugya about our people that I want to talk about. But for today, we study. This is what we studied for today. Ad kan for today. Yehuda, I'm happy you're in Yeshiva, Yehuda. And Yossi's here. Fantastic. Fantastic. What's to get a guy? I have a question, Yehuda. To come to Waterbury, a guy doesn't come to davenings, a guy doesn't come to learning, a guy doesn't come to anything, there's no punishment. So what's going to draw people to learn, to daven? We're crazy in Waterbury. If you don't give detentions and suspension, Naftali, it's a crazy place. What's going to pull a guy? Why is a guy going to learn in daven? There's no detention to Mashir. What's your punishment for not being here? What did you? Did somebody pay you to come, Yehuda? Is there? No. Send him, Ephraim, send him $10 for being here.
Yehuda, till you got those $10, did anybody pay you to be? You're not bribed. It's just, it's for a soda for you and for Yossi, just to get a soda. Yehuda, I have a belief. I want to express, Yehuda, Yossi, I want to express something to the Chevra. I have this weird belief. It's built into the yeshiva. It's a crazy, we're crazy. I have a belief that people have a neshama. It's like retarded. And the neshama only wants Hashem and wants God. And it will not be satisfied without Hashem. The neshama driven for Hashem, for God. That's a belief. I actually don't think that you need detention suspensions for people to be interested in ruchnius. I believe that a human being has a drive and a pull to ruchnius. That's what I believe this sincerely. The things proved look to me like it's true. My experience is watching people. I speak to guys all the time. I'm nishtoimim from the tremendous want for Dvarim Tovim. The tremendous want, I see it constantly in the yeshiva. In conversations, I'm zeichet to have conversations with guys. I marvel at the tremendous want for ruchnius, for growth, for Hashem, in real and sincere ways. Something that constantly comes out in the yeshiva, and I marvel at it, Nachi. We'll continue tomorrow. Whoever wants, again at 5 o'clock, we're going to have Gemara Bez Hashem at 5 o'clock. There'll be Gemara. Anybody can come join. We're learning the 10th parak. Get a chavrusa. Come to shir. Get a chavrusa. 10th parak of Psachim. Have an outstanding day, Yehuda.
What's the title?
Yassi, I want you for a minute. Yassi, David, come for a minute.
Wait, that's
crazy. Thank you.
You have been listening to a shiur from shasilluminated.org. For other shiurim on many topics, or to hear an Eon shiur on any daf in Shas, including Maror Mekaymus on each shiur, please visit www.shasilluminated.org. To order CDs or for more information, please call 203-312-SHAS. That's 203-312-7427 or email info@shasilluminated.org.